All right. So this is what we're doing. We've been talking about the need for correct or sound doctrine. That's not a word that we use a lot because it sounds dry and boring and so on. And a lot of times, like kind of growing up when I heard somebody using the word doctrine, it really meant it was like in my mind, it was, you know, the things that they kind of get stuck on. And they got like, you know, for instance, you might have some groups that get stuck on, well, you know, the women better wear, you know, no makeup and the men better wear long sleeves and whatever. That kind of, so that was my idea of doctrine. And it just was dry. It seemed dry and dead. But how many of you know true sound doctrine is not dry and dead? True sound doctrine will set you free because all it is the truth of God's word, right? But these are unchangeable. What we're calling this, you can pull a title up, but the title of this whole series that we're doing is Unchanging Core Truths of Christianity. That means that these things that we're talking about, and right now we're talking about really the characteristics or the attributes of Father God. And these things are things that are unchangeable. They will never change. These are things that if you really get them in your heart and begin to apply them in your life in every situation, it'll take you through things that nothing else will. Okay, and that's the whole point. And there's nothing complicated about it. They're just truths that we need to settle in our heart that no matter what happens, these things cannot change. And so we started out by, again, we're talking about right now the attributes of the Father. And so what are his attributes? Well, his attributes are really his characteristics, things about him that we can discover and we can really understand about him that help us to know him better, but also to be able to get through certain situations in our lives. For instance, the first one we said was that God is omniscient. That God is, the omniscient simply means all-knowing. That God really is a know-it-all. In fact, he's the only one in the world that really is a know-it-all. We know people who think they're know-it-alls. Maybe we've even labeled them a know-it-all. But the truth is, nobody knows it all but God. But the good news about that is that because he knows it all, he's not surprised by anything. And how many of you have ever been in your life in a situation where you wondered, you just wondered, God, do you even know what I'm going through? Do you even know what my situation is? Or you have a problem and you're trying to solve it. You have no idea how to solve it. And you're not really convinced that God really knows, like it's something new he's never seen. Now, we might never vocalize that out of our mouth, but our old carnal mind might want to get us to believe that way. How do I know that I believe that he doesn't really know it all? Because I don't even bother to ask him. I lean to my own understanding instead. And how many of you know what happens when you lean to your own understanding? You're going to fall. I said a while back, I kind of coined a phrase that if you lean to your own understanding, you're going to fall because that thing is not very strong. So when you lean on it, you're going to fall. It's just not going to hold you up. It's not strong enough to hold you up. So God is omniscient. He knows everything, and he knows everything all at once. And so there's nothing that he does not know. He knows everything inside and outside of himself. And, pondering on this idea, he knows not only every hair on our head and, you know, every hair that goes down the drain in the shower, but he also knows in the billions and billions of galaxies out there, he knows every asteroid, every place, all around the universe. He knows the orbit of everything. He knows everything. That's very hard for us to even comprehend. So if that's the case, why in the world would we not seek his knowledge, right? So again, what we have to do, our job is to figure out, and the reason we're kind of getting in groups is so you guys can discuss on these things, figure out, now how can I apply this to my life? How does that knowledge, how does that fact about God affect me? How can we apply this? Because it's not just knowing it, it's applying it, right? Okay, so the second thing we said last week was that God is omnipotent. And what does that mean? All powerful. Again, there's nothing he can't do. As a kid, we used to sing the song, "My God is so big, so strong, there's nothing my God cannot do," right? So we sing the song, and sometimes we can grow up in church singing songs like that, but still fret and fear and everything else as though somehow something's too big for God. Now, we don't have a problem believing, praying for somebody that's got a headache, but oh no, they got cancer. Oh no. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm saying that when it comes to God, cancer's just as easy to deal with as a headache, right? Any issue that can come up in our life, none of it's difficult for God. None of it. So if we can really grasp that, and then we understand, well, if it's not difficult for him, then it's not difficult for us either, because his power resides within us. We just many times don't believe it. And so, again, he's omnipotent. Now, how can we apply that in everyday life? Well, there's a lot of times when you're going to need to apply that one. There's a lot of situations you're going to be in where you need that omnipotent power of God operating in your life. All right. And so we said that he's omnipotent, yet what an incredible thing that in his omnipotence, it also includes his authority. He's not just all powerful, but he also has all authority. And it's amazing that he's given that authority to us. That is an amazing thing. Like, I don't know that I would trust us with that authority, that kind of power, that kind of authority, because we can be knuckleheads sometimes, right? But yet he took that risk. Now, it's really not a risk for him because he already knows what we'll do with it. But what an amazing thing. And he takes authority that he establishes, so important. We talked about the fact last week that even before Jesus could start his ministry, he had to go be baptized by John the Baptist, the authority that God had set up, the spiritual authority that God had set up on the earth. Jesus couldn't do one single miracle. He couldn't even begin his ministry until he first had to go submit to the authority that God had raised up on the earth, John the Baptist. And that's why John said, I should be getting baptized by you, not the other way around. I mean, this, you know, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? I should be the one being baptized, not you. And Jesus had him baptize him anyway. Why? Because Jesus, God himself in the flesh, submitted to his own system of authority that he set up. That's powerful. How can we apply that in our life? Well, we better be very, very careful how we deal with authority. No matter where it is, whether it's parental, whether it's on the job, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the schools, whatever, whether it's the law, the government. So again, we said he's omnipotent. And then the third one we talked about is the fact that he's omnipresent. That means simply he is everywhere, okay? Omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's nowhere you could possibly go, even if we had the ability to go out all over to the edges of the universe, God would still be there, right? There's no place he's not. Well, that should comfort us, because that means if there's no place I can go that he's not there, that means he's available to me anywhere I go. That means he's available to me whether I'm in church or whether I'm in prison. Wherever I am, he's there. I love that. The glory of the Lord fills the earth, right? Everywhere I go, I can tap into that. Because he's omnipresent, even in the bathroom. In fact, I get some of my greatest inspiration there. You know, I tell people, I used to, you know, say this, but, you know, I used to write a lot of music, write a lot of songs and that kind of thing when I was younger. And I was talking to another songwriter. He goes, man, you wouldn't believe where I write most of my songs. I said, where? He goes, in the bathroom. I said, me too. It's amazing. Obviously, God is there too. All right, so he's omnipresent. Again, it all comes down to how do we apply this? Why does this matter? Why do we need to know this? And how does it affect my life? Okay, and you will have people that will try to talk you out of this, but this has to be core in our belief system. So what we do is when we have strongholds in our mind, which are lies from the enemy, we replace those strongholds with sound doctrine, with the truth of God's word. Because if we don't, then the devil will just tell us another lie that we'll swallow and have another stronghold. So now we get to the fourth one, and we didn't talk about this one last week, so we'll just kind of review in there. So number four is that God is all wise. He really is. Not only is he a know-it-all, he's a wise guy. I mean, isn't that amazing? He is all wise. So here's the thing. What's the difference? Pastor Cindy asked me, we were talking about this the other day, and she goes, so what's the difference? Wouldn't that be the same thing as that he's omniscient? Well, there is a difference. Just like in the gifts of the Spirit, we have what's called a word of knowledge, but we also have one called what? A word of wisdom, right? So what's the difference in knowledge and wisdom? Well, knowledge is related to wisdom, but there is a difference. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. So that's why when God said, if you lack wisdom, ask me. So when we're talking about all these attributes of God and all the various things that we'll continue to talk about in this, and talking about these unchangeable core truths of Christianity, then we have to go to this and realize that he's all wise and he knows how to apply all this knowledge, and we need to do the same. We need to go to him, the all wise one, and say, God, show me how to apply this. It really is that simple, because we can sit in church all of our lives, and I've seen it many times. People sit in church all their lives and never apply the word of God. They go to church and they leave church and nothing changes. You know why? Because they're not applying the word. They're not applying his truth. So God is all wise. Knowledge, again, is it's related, but it's not the same. So wisdom is, what do you do with the knowledge you have? On a very practical way here. One thing I really admire about Solomon is this. On a business level, which God has anointed him to do, he'll get knowledge of something, and he's always sharing some kind of knowledge with me about business. But then he seeks God on, what do I do about it? So much to the, I'm talking about on whether or not to buy a piece of machinery that he can repaint and sell and make a whole bunch of money on, or to fix something, or how to get a particular job, so on and so forth. So what I love is, in a practical way, I'm using him as an example, because in a practical way, it affects your life. It affects everything. It affects your finances. So he'll get knowledge about a certain thing, then ask the Lord, show me how to use this knowledge, and God shows him. And as a result, he's a businessman with several businesses. And while other people in his type of business, those people are struggling, they're just going strong at the moment. Okay. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that this affects us in a practical way. Okay. So wisdom is the application of knowledge. And Pastor Cindy and I, again, we've been talking about this. And one of the reasons we're going this direction and teaching these things on Wednesday nights is because, and it's a shame because honestly, to be honest, everybody in this church ought to be here hearing these teachings. But, you know, people have their ideas of what they should be doing. They say, well, I already gave God my Sunday morning, so there's no need to show up on a Wednesday. And so that's just a mindset of people, because it's been ingrained in people. To be honest with you, it's a stronghold in many Christians. And so I believe we should get everything we can get, right? So again, wisdom is the application of knowledge. And one of the things that we've been talking about is the fact that, you know, we give a lot of biblical truth. We do. I don't want to ever put anything out that's not biblically true. I believe we try to stick with sound doctrine all the time, and everything we say and everything that we bring from this pulpit or in any classroom or anything like that. But the difference is, we have to apply it. And so I'm challenging you to ask the God who knows exactly how to apply all knowledge to help you apply the truth that he brings to you. Okay. So God uses the best means to accomplish the highest ends. His wisdom is boundless. It's unending. It's uncontainable. But ours, in the natural, of course, is very, very limited. This is why we need to have the mind of Christ. So nothing that he does can be improved. Just think about that. I was talking to somebody that's going through something, and it's taken a little longer than what they're believing God for something, and taken a little longer than what they think it should take. And they were telling me that, well, you know, I just told God today, look, you're going to have to speed up. You're going to have to speed this thing up. I need you to speed. And I'm like, you might want to back off a little bit there. First off, he knows exactly what he's doing. What you need to do is ask him for his wisdom in the situation. Don't start trying to tell God how to do it. You need to ask God for his wisdom in the situation, and know he knows more than you and he's much wiser than you. So don't even get so pretentious and prideful to think that you can tell God how he needs to do this. But yet we do it. That's stupid. But we've all done it, right? Especially when we're in a situation where we're impatient. We want to see it done. And it's not that. And we're talking about good things that we want to see done. Godly things that God will be glorified with. We want to see done. But yet we still want to put our 2 cents in. And so God sees all things in their proper perspective, and is therefore able to bring about flawless outcomes. Our outcomes will always be flawed. His are never flawed. He weighs all ends. He knows all needs. He comprehends all possibilities, and he understands all means. So don't you think it'd be better for us to seek his wisdom about whatever we face at any point in time in life before we seek wisdom of man? And that's another thing. Sometimes we're not leaning so much to our own understanding because I know I don't know, but we're foolish enough. Instead of going to God, we'll go ask another human being. It's crazy to me that people will put the word of a doctor above God and his word. Now you think about that. Why? Well, they know a lot. I mean, they went to college for 8 years or 10 years or whatever to be a doctor. I mean, they know a lot. So you think they know more than God, who is the creator, who's always been, always will be? Nobody's ever been able to educate him about anything. He literally knows it all, and he knows what to do with the knowledge. He's all wise, and you're going to put the word of a man or woman above what God has said? How foolish are we? So, you know, if you're not going to bother to ask God, go ask a doctor. But by all means, ask God first, right? I had somebody tell me this just a couple of days ago. They were going to the doctor that, you know, they're testing them for COVID and all kinds of stuff. And he said he was praying about it, and the Lord showed him exactly what was going on. He's a mechanic, and he was working on a person's car. He was cleaning out an air conditioning system for a person where some mice had got into it and had, you know, peed and, you know, did their thing, had the droppings and all. So he blew all that out for this lady. And he said the Lord brought that back to his attention and said, that's your problem. And it made him sick, right? So the doctors are trying to do all kinds of other stuff, want to put him on medicine, want to do this and that. And he said the Lord showed him what it was. And when he realized what it was, he told the doctor this is what it was. And he said now he's, you know, much better, right? So I thought, well, that is so cool. You ask God, you took the time to ask him, and he showed you the problem. So I think we could probably save a lot of time and money if we ask God first, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, and I want to, everything we do, everything we're teaching here, we want to lay out scripture for you, okay? So, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's a pretty powerful statement right there, right? And by the way, I'm laying out, Pastor Cindy asked me about this, she goes, boy, you got a lot of scripture in this whole thing that you're doing here. So, well, in order to establish a doctrine, you have to have scriptures that agree, that make the point. Otherwise, because all kind of false doctrines get started by just pulling one scripture out, right? Okay. And of course, she knows that too, but she was just saying, boy, you're kind of going overboard. I said, I'd rather go overboard than underboard. All right. So Romans chapter 16, verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. The only wise God. Job 12:13, with God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. Psalm 147:5. I know I'm going through these pretty fast, but it says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite, right? So there's just no end to it. So A.W. Tozer said this. And I've got a few A.W. Tozer quotes I'm going to be using in teaching all this. But A.W. Tozer said this. He said, wisdom, among other things, is the ability to devise perfect ends and to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. It sees the end from the beginning. So think about God. It sees the end from the beginning, so there can be no need to guess or conjecture. Wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation to all, and is thus able to work toward predestined goals with flawless precision. That's God, all right? So when we see wisdom like this, we realize just how much our limited, finite wisdom compares with his limitless, infinite wisdom. It's amazing that that resource is available to us. The fact that God can never be more wise means that he is always doing the wisest thing in our lives. So even in those times when we question, and we've all done it, we question, question God's wisdom in this situation I'm in. We question His wisdom, and we say things like, well, if I was God, I think I would have done it a little different. Again, that's the most arrogant, prideful thing that we could ever say. That is our first clue that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Now, let me throw something in there that I don't have in my notes, just something that the Lord was dealing with me about yesterday as I was reading through James. In James chapter 4, there's a scripture that we always use, and we'll take this part of scripture out, and we use it. Resist the devil, and what? And he will flee. And what we take that to mean many times, especially in our charismatic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled circles, that means, say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, devil. You gotta flee, right? Now, nothing wrong with doing that. But what that's really saying in its context is first it says, submit to God, resist the devil. And if you look in its context, before that scripture and after that scripture, the entire thing is about humility. It's about humbling yourself. And as I really began to look at that, now I've read that, I don't know, hundreds of times over the years. I don't know. But as I began to look at that, it dawned on me, the only way to truly resist the devil is to humble myself. That doesn't mean I talk bad about myself and I talk about what a loser I am and all that. It just simply means that I realize that I don't have all wisdom and I need to seek the wisdom of the one who does have it all. It means I humble myself before God and recognize He knows way more than me. He's way more wise and way more powerful and all of those things. So the way I submit myself, the way I resist the devil is I humble myself before God. It gives the Lord an opportunity to work in my life in a way that the enemy can't overrun me anymore. Everybody got that? Okay. So yeah, we need to resist the devil and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and I resist. But you can do that all day long. And if you're doing it in a spirit of pride, you're going to get absolutely destroyed by that devil. He's not scared of that at all because he knows he's got a stronghold in us that he can work with. He's got leverage on us. And so again, it's all about humbling ourselves before the Lord. And so the fact that God, again, can never be more wise because he's already all wise means he's always doing the wisest thing in our lives. So no plan that we could make for our lives could be better than the plan that he's already crafted and carrying out for us. Again, I've encouraged parents over the years, be careful about trying to direct your child to be somebody that you wanted to be, but somehow couldn't get there. Stop trying to live your dreams through your children, trying to force your children to do something to fulfill your dreams because you feel like you felt short. Why don't you seek God, seek His wisdom, and cause your child to seek God and seek His wisdom to find out what He really wants for them. He may want them to go be a missionary somewhere. Oh, well, we don't want that because that would take them away from us, right? As though they really belong to us. Okay. So my point is, and he may not make them go be a missionary somewhere, but you know what? I've known parents who try to push their children into athletics that they didn't want to do or push them into college and, you know, to go be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. And that kid didn't want that. They need to find out what God wants them to do because then they'll truly be fulfilled in life, right? So again, we can make all kind of plans for our lives and for our children and completely, completely miss it. And over the years, I've had so many people tell me that I really missed it. I really missed it in life. I wanted to pursue this. I wanted to pursue that. And the same thing with their children. So we might not understand his ways today, but we can trust that because God is infinitely wise, he truly is working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. And he's doing it in the best possible way. Well, Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord. We never have to wonder if you know the right thing to do. And God, we're just declaring tonight, we're going to trust you. Help us to trust you more. Help us to trust you in your wisdom. Help us to trust you in every situation. God, I thank you, Lord, that as we grow older and older and more mature in you, God, I know that all that really means is that we're not leaning to our own understanding so much, but Lord, we're acknowledging you and we're trusting you and we're humbling ourselves before you. And Father, I thank you that as we are doing that, God, literally it removes the ability of the enemy to bring that destruction to us. So Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for the insights, the wisdom that you've given them tonight. I thank you, Father, that you'll continue to do that as truth is brought to their lives, God. They'll seek you, Lord, and they'll know what to do simply based on your wisdom and not their own and not my own, Father. I thank you for that. Use this tonight, God. Use this somehow during the week. Help us to truly apply it in our lives. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.